White, J.E., Palmer, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, January 27, 1902. Dear Brother Palmer and Edson, I wish to write you a short letter. I am still physically weak, but I spend the sleepless hours of the night praying the Lord to strengthen me by His healing power and give me a sound mind, that I may be able to write and speak the truth He gives me for His people. I believe my prayers will be answered. My trust is in God. I am seeking Him with heart and mind and soul, and He is blessing me. Although I am weak in body, my mind seems clear, and for this blessing, I am more grateful than I can express. During the night, I have many hours of wakefulness, and oh, how many precious words come to my soul, to comfort, strengthen, and encourage me. I am instructed not to become worried in regard to the southern field, for the Lord is at the helm. He will give His servants grace and wisdom to advise and counsel with those who are in perplexity. Many matters will need to be adjusted, and with some of the things done you will not be pleased because they will cut across your plans. But do not allow the natural feelings to gain the supremacy. Crucify self. One man's judgment and plans and methods must in no case be urged against the united judgment of men who have been placed as stewards in positions of trust. It is God's purpose that men entrusted with responsibility are to counsel and pray together in Christian unity. Edson, I am instructed to say to you, be guarded. Speak only words that God can commend. Brother Palmer, in the night season I am talking with you and Edson, presenting the situation before you, and telling you that you should both feel most grateful that something is being done to enlarge and extend the work in the southern field. Matters are now being reviewed by men of sound judgment. You should praise the Lord that relief has come. Let not one thought of jealousy or envy come into your minds. God has men of His appointment to do His work. In His providence, He has selected these men. Blend with them. Do not draw apart from them. Guard carefully against speaking unadvisedly in council meetings or to your workers. The words spoken by you before your workers have not always been wise words. Talk with God far more than you do. Then you will be able to speak wise words to those who are connected with you in the work. Edson, my dear son, now, as never before, you need to understand that you are not to use your mother's name to sustain all that you shall say or do, because when you were struggling, with few to help you or to take an interest in your work, the Lord spoke encouraging words to you. You can make of none effect the testimonies given me by the Lord if you use them inconsiderately, as, in the representations given me in the night season, you were doing. You do not understand the testimonies if you think that this is the way the Lord desires you to use them. You can do the cause of God and yourself great injury by using the testimonies to vindicate you in all that you have devised. You are not in your words to give the impression that in all things you are following light that the Lord has given your mother. In some cases, you have interpreted my words to mean what I never meant them to mean. My son, do not, I beseech you, bring in your mother's name as encouraging you in any course of action contrary to the advice and counsels the Lord has given you in the past. Do not mingle your own spirit with the words that I have tried to speak to you. In my weakness and suffering, I may not have expressed myself plainly. You must not give the impression that your mother vindicates in all things your plans and propositions. I address you both. Watch for souls as they that must give an account. This means that you must first take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Christ is inviting you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. My son, you are overworked and worn, and you do not view all things in a correct light. I feel very sorry for you. When your brethren, in exercising their judgment and wisdom in reference to the work to be done in the southern field, differ from your ideas and plans, you must not think they are doing you an injustice. It would not be pleasing to the Lord for you to have your own way in regard to investing means in the boat building business. Every dollar of the means you are planning to invest thus is the Lord's and is to be used to advance His work. You cannot afford to run the risks you ran years ago. If you did expend money unwisely, do not add more to this unwise expenditure. God help you to become rested, to sit calmly at the feet of Him who is meek and lowly in heart, learning of Him. Satan is playing the game of life for the souls perishing in sin. God desires your heart to be cleansed from everything unchristlike, that you may be able to speak words in season to the weary. February 2nd. I have been too sick to finish this letter till now. I have before me a little history. Walter Harper has been investing much money in a mining business. I dared not write him a word, fearing that whatever I might say, he would take it for granted that it was to encourage him in his investment. A few days ago he came to my room and laid before me $95 of tithe money. Then he said, "Sister White, I have given up my mining operations. It was hard for me to do this, but it is done." I said, "Thank the Lord, Brother Harper." He continued, "I have given myself wholly to the Lord. He is now a happy man, for he has surrendered all to God. He has since started out on another canvassing tour and will give the profits of 1 month's work to the cause, the profits of 1 week to the work in the South, of another to the work in Australia, of another to the relief of the schools, and of another to the Scottsborg Sanitarium." While calling on me, Brother Harper said, "I am greatly blessed of God. It is a marvel to me how readily the books that I am handling sell." I said, "Brother Harper, many times I have prayed that no Seventh-day Adventist should invest money in mines. I have said, 'Hedge up their way, O Lord, hedge up their way.' If after they had thus invested money, success should follow their eager hope of finding golden treasure in the earth, it would be the greatest calamity that could come to our people. Thousands and thousands of dollars have already been invested by our people in speculation, in coal mines, oil fields, and in various other worldly enterprises. And there have been many failures and many frauds. Thus our people have been duped, robbed of their means by flattering representations. God has told us where to place any money we have to spare. We are to place it in heaven. How? By using it to advance His work in the world, to sustain gospel teachers, to open new fields, to shed forth the light of truth into the dark places of the earth. Thus we may lay up treasure in heaven. One soul saved is worth more to Christ than the whole world. Know you not the commission given? Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Christ understands the value of human souls, and He desires His people to put forth all their powers in the work of soul saving. Then souls will be convicted and converted. This work of soul saving is to be our burden at this time. There is a special work to be done in the publication of the truth. The press is one of God's instrumentalities for the advancement of His cause. No human being can work for God successfully in his own power. Christ says, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. Those who surrender body, mind, and spirit into the hands of God to be controlled by Him will see of His salvation.